Would you please join me for our reading of Scripture? Today's reading comes from various books of the Bible. Please follow along with the scriptures on the screen. Hear the word of the Lord. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it, he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
You know, with all this talk about busyness and hurry in this sermon series, I've been reflecting on why I function the way that I do and why I find myself easily caught up with being busy and hurried. And the main reason is because I learned it from my family of origin. I can still remember when I was in elementary school and I was sitting on the couch relaxing after I got home from school. And one of my parents immediately said, "Why are you just sitting there? Don't be lazy. Don't you have homework to do or chores that need to be done?" See, in my family, working was defined as being valuable. It defined how we performed, what we produced, and how much we got done. In fact, the more you worked, the more valuable you were considered. I still remember ever since third grade, on top of all the homework that I had to do from school, my parents would give me extra work so that I could get ahead. This would be a total of 4 hours of homework a night. And when I got to high school, it went up to 5 or 6 hours. And sometimes when you were doing work, you just want to just sit there and not do anything. But then if my parents came into the room, their response would be, "Why aren't you doing your homework?" And I get it. We were immigrants who just came to this country from Singapore. And so working hard was just what we needed to do in order to make it. So my parents worked really hard in order to provide for my older brother and myself, which also meant that as kids, we had to work hard so that we could have a future. And I'm grateful for the sacrifices that my parents went through in order to come to this country and give us a good future. They taught me values that helped me to develop discipline in me and even gave me a good work ethic. But all we did was work. And if we had days off as kids, like the weekend, summer break, work had to be done first in order to get ahead before we could do anything fun. But when all you do is work and you work to live, eventually that takes a toll somewhere. It eventually took a toll on my parents' marriage because they were always working even when they got home and rarely had time to connect. It took a toll on their health because they kept going and going and went beyond their limits for too long. It took a toll on my closeness with my parents because instead of being close to them with time spent together, I was actually closer to my friends who were more present. It took a toll on my integrity, because even though I was raised with good values, we all know that when the cat's away, the mice will play, and I would get into a lot of trouble. So yeah, we look successful on the outside because of what we produced, but below the surface, things were actually deteriorating. But this is all I knew, and as I got older, I just repeated exactly what my parents taught me, which was to work hard and don't be lazy. And when I did have time off, I would just fill that time with more things to do because I didn't know how to rest. And when I tried to rest, I felt guilty because I could hear that voice, "Don't be lazy. Don't be lazy, Edwin." So even if I had a vacation, resting for me felt like I was doing something wrong. And so my vacations became productive vacations that were filled with things to do so that I could get ahead when I did go back to work. Or if I had time off, I would say to myself, you know, just let me do like 3 or 4 hours of work so that I would feel better. And then I would go and do something fun. I mean, even in the military, I remember my instructors saying, don't be idle. When a superior came by, we purposely pretended to do something just to look busy. Maybe that is why I became a workaholic, because work, producing, and results defined my value. And if I didn't do any of those things, then I actually felt useless. And when you're a workaholic, do you know who likes you the most? Yes, your boss. Because you are getting everything done for them. And I was getting rewarded for all that I was getting done, which fed into my need for more. And I could feel myself growing and being even more prideful as I felt more valuable because I was needed. Because you are what you do. And the more you do, the more you are, right? My mentality was that I could always take a break later, because work had to be done now, but later never came. And this way of living affects many of us. We are proud when we tell people that we've been busy because it means that our lives are full and overflowing. We admire those who can accomplish so much in so little time, and so we take our cues from such people. At work, if everyone is working super hard, then we need to also be working super hard in order to keep up. And if we have kids, we even train our kids to function the exact same way. After school, there are sports, clubs, or some other extracurricular activity. After that, there is homework or something else that needs to be done. And because many of our friends' kids have packed schedules, our kids have packed schedules. That is why many of us are so stressed, overscheduled, burnt out, and starved for time all the time. We end our days exhausted and irritable from work and from raising our children. Then our free time gets used to doing more work. We are addicted to work, and we are addicted to doing. We find ourselves saying yes to everything so much so that we are never really present with just one thing. Many of us are so rushed that even when we are having conversations with people, we are multitasking, looking at our phones or doing something else. I was in traffic the other day and I looked over to the car to the right of me, and the lady was literally putting on her makeup, talking on the phone, and driving at the same time. Many of us are working so much that we are even too busy for God. We try to pray, but we rush through that. We're stretched so thin that church is the first thing that goes out the window because of all the other things that need to be done. We consider ourselves to be followers of Jesus, but yet many of us don't even have time for Jesus. Instead of trusting Him to run our universe, we are too busy running our own universe. You know, in a sermon series called Overwhelmed, finding God in our crazy busy lives, because when it comes to life, most people are feeling overwhelmed, stressed, angry, and even burnt out because of the way that we are functioning. And the reason why we function this way is because we have become slaves to doing. A slave is someone who is owned by someone else. They have no freedom, and their life is spent working in order to accomplish for whom they are working for. And because we are constantly doing and are constantly on the go, we become like slaves to our task, to our schedules, and to other people's demands. That is why when we read in the Old Testament of the Bible, when God freed the Israelites from slavery in Egypt, He wanted them to learn what being His people looked like, which meant that even though they were freed people, they still had to learn to function like God and to live out of that freedom in all areas of their lives. And so 3 million plus Jews marched out of Egypt, led by their leader Moses, and they went through the desert to God's promised land as God began His work to shape them as a nation. And one of the ways that God wanted to help his people experience true freedom was for them to practice what is known as Sabbath. Sabbath is a day or 24-hour period in each week to cease or stop working in order to rest and worship. And it is where we are to stop in order to look around and give thanks. It is a day to slow down, take a deep breath, step aside from work and worries, and let the world go on without us, knowing that God is caring for everyone and everything. It is a time where we have a renewed awareness of who God is, and a time where we can actually use to enjoy. And Sabbath applies to all of us, no matter what life stage we are in. This concept of rest was so important to God that he even demonstrated rest after he worked for 6 days creating the world and everything in it. This Hebrew word, Sabbath or Shabbat, translated means he rested. Because by the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it, he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. So the God of the universe, who has no limits, set an example for us on how to function within our limits. And so God's rhythm was that he worked, but he also rested. And since God wants us to learn to function like him at his pace, he included Sabbath as one of his top 10 commandments for his people, which means that keeping the Sabbath and resting were as equally important to God for his people's welfare, as well as were the other laws like don't commit adultery or don't murder. But yet, for many of us, Sabbath is the one commandment that we are okay in breaking every single week. Many Christians today view Sabbath as something optional and not essential when it comes to becoming like Jesus. And God wanted to teach his people to incorporate a new rhythm of keeping the Sabbath as part of their weekly routine, because he knew it would give his people breathing room to rest. That's why he says, "Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God." God instilled the Sabbath to not only give us physical rest, but to trust him to provide for us when we don't work that day. And knowing that God will provide for our needs, we can rest. And Sabbath doesn't just give us physical rest, but more importantly, rest for our souls. The soul in Scripture is the sum total of our heart, our mind, and our whole being. And here God was giving anyone who follows him permission to have a day where they can experience rest in all those areas because they rested in him. Sabbath was created for us so that we could stop being the God of our own universe and trust God to be God of our lives. God says, observe the Sabbath, meaning incorporate a 24-hour day off into our schedule and make it a part of our weekly life. And then set that day apart from work so that you can rest, so that you can slow down and reconnect with God. By having that day, you have created margin and breathing room, because that means that you will have to reorder things and perhaps cut things out so that you can have that margin to rest. God continues, remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. This commandment to rest was a reminder to the nation of Israel that they were not slaves anymore like they used to be in Egypt. They didn't have to work all the time to produce for a master. Instead, they could now work with joy for 6 days and rest one day from their work every single week, which slaves never had the liberty to do. If Israel was going to be a nation under God and who followed his ways, then God wanted to instill in his people a healthy rhythm of how to live. Soon, the surrounding nations took notice of the God of the Israelites, because the nation of Israel were not slaves to their work like everyone else, and they trusted that God would provide for them when they didn't work. All the other nations worked like slaves, but only Israel worked 6 days and rested on the seventh. But yet, they experienced extreme blessings and were more abundant than all of their neighbors because they obeyed and trusted God. See, Sabbath is a trust issue. God was saying, by taking some rest, can you trust me to care for you and all the things that you care about? And the practice of Sabbath is going to push against many of us because we have gone far too long living beyond our limits. But if we don't want to be overwhelmed, then we have to start changing the system of how we are functioning. See, our culture tells us to work, 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 and then you get 10 days of vacation. But how many of us know that when you are going, 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 10 days is not enough to feel rested? The reason why is because our body needs time to catch up. So what most people do is burn themselves out and then think 10 days is going to unburn them. And that is if you get 10 days, because for some of us, we haven't taken a day off in years. But God is saying, you are stressed and you have no breathing room because you are living an unsustainable rhythm. So let's change the system of how you are functioning. And in order to do that, it is working towards implementing a Sabbath. And this is the thing I want you to think about. If we don't start to implement a Sabbath into our routine, it will never happen. If we say, oh, we can do it later, it will never happen. It is almost like exercise. If you don't implement exercise into your routine and say, I will do it later, when later comes, we are likely not to do it. This is all prevention in order to help us to function more and more like Jesus in the long run. So here are some steps that we can take as we begin to incorporate Sabbath into our life. The first is pick a day in your week to have a Sabbath. This is the one day where you will rest from all work. You notice that I'm using the term Sabbath and not day off to refer to your day of rest. Because if you call your Sabbath day your day off, you would then be tempted to do all your errands on that day. Things like grocery shopping, cleaning, laundry, other chores. But if we plan accordingly, those errands or chores can actually be spread out and completed on the other days of the week. Whereas your Sabbath day is specifically meant for you to rest, have recreation, and refresh with God. So treat that day like it's a vacation day and guard it so that you can rest and do things that refresh you. For example, if I were going on a vacation to a nice tropical beach for 1 week, starting, let's say, Monday, March 20th, till Sunday, March 26th, that means that in order to get that week off so that I can relax and go away, I would need to get all my work done either before that Monday the 20th or after that Sunday the 26th. So if someone calls me and says, hey Edwin, can we set up a meeting on Tuesday the 21st at 10 a.m.? What am I going to say in response? No, I will be away, but before the 20th, or after the 26th, no problem. Why? Because what I'm doing is I'm protecting my vacation and my rest. Who wants to sit on a tropical beach on your vacation having to do a work meeting? Vacation means you don't work. And if you do work on your vacation, then it's not a vacation. And you are just cheating yourself from rest time when you do that. So pick a day and treat your weekly Sabbath the exact same way that you would as if you were going on a beach vacation. Protect that day so you can look forward to resting. The second thing you can do is rest and connect. People ask, what do you do on your Sabbath? There are actually two questions we want to ask ourselves. The first is, what constitutes work that depletes me that I need to cease from? And the second is, what things can I do that refreshes me instead? Usually my Sabbath is on Fridays and I look forward to it. Every week I have one day of vacation, so I approach that day with absolutely no agenda. That way when I have that day, I'm not rushed to have to stick to a schedule and I can just rest and do nothing. I don't feel guilty about it. So anything that pertains to my work, I leave it for other days. But if I did do something on my Sabbath, I aim to do things that actually refresh me. It is maybe sleeping in a bit, exercising, reading a book that has nothing to do with work, or I watch movies or listen to other people's sermons, making sure that I'm not studying or taking notes. I don't even meet with anyone on that day. And what you do on that day looks different for everyone. For example, exercising relaxes me. But for some of you, the thought of exercising is a chore and causes you more stress and anxiety. My wife loves to do puzzles in order to rest, whereas puzzles for me are considered work. Others I know serve on their Sabbath or even meet up with friends because that gives them life. Everyone is different, so you want to find out what refreshes you and then do it on your Sabbath. Number three, do things with God. Whatever you do that refreshes you, include God to do it with you. When I exercise, instead of listening to workout music, I choose to listen to a sermon or worship music as I work out. That way I'm more conscious of God and what He's doing the rest of my day. I like to watch movies, and so what I do is I watch movies with God. And it's funny how when you are conscious that God is watching a movie with you, you will hear the Holy Spirit saying, wow, that was funny. Or maybe the Holy Spirit saying that the show that you're watching is probably not the best to be watching. Or I just spend time reading God's word and then lying there in silence as I let it soak in. But you do what works for you. There's so many things to do in order to connect and remember God, which helps us to be human beings instead of human doings. Number four, be creative to take a Sabbath. For some, depending on your stage of life, it will be easier to begin implementing an entire day for a Sabbath. And for others, you may have to start small with a few hours and eventually work your way to a full day of resting. But resting is between you and God. So be purposeful to find ways to rest and connect with Him, because in the long run, it is only going to benefit you. And a better and restful you means that others around you will also benefit. Make room for Sabbath rest the way that you would clear your day for a new love interest. Or make room for Sabbath rest the way that you would clear your day when an emergency comes up. The reality is that many of us waste so much time throughout our days doing meaningless things that if we were creative to redeem that time to be more productive during our week, we could actually aim to have an actual Sabbath day. When I first met my wife, it was important to me that both of us had a Sabbath day in order to rest and build that into our schedules. This was not only for her well-being, but also for the well-being of our marriage. She was like, that's impossible. Do you realize all the things that I have to do, Edwin? There is no way that I can take one day to rest. But we talked and we got creative and we moved things around in our schedules. And now she loves her Sabbath. Every week it gives her something to look forward to. And she cannot imagine how she functioned before not having one. Number five, how do I take a Sabbath when I have small kids? Having young children is a season that will pass, but in the meantime, it can feel never-ending and even overwhelming. And the reality of the season is that you really don't have much time to yourself. However, a Sabbath is still possible if you think it is important and are willing to fight for it. As I talk with other parents who have small kids who do keep a Sabbath, they talk about the importance of starting this practice when they're young as a way to build it into the framework of their children's lives. Now, Sabbath with small kids will not look exactly like what your Sabbath without kids will look like. The reality is that you are still parents and your kids still need to be cared for. Some great ways to incorporate Sabbath is choosing a 24-hour period that is the same day every single week. Kids thrive on routine. It is important to have a quick 30-minute cleanup the night before your Sabbath begins, so that way there is no need to worry about chores the following day. This can also include preparing meals for Sabbath the day before if cooking feels like a chore for you. When the morning of Sabbath begins, if your kids are young, then you will likely need to get up with them. But if your kids are a little older, it can mean setting out an activity for them the night before so that they can get up and play while you get a few extra minutes of sleeping in. Some parents suggest having a special breakfast item in the morning that is only eaten on the Sabbath day, such as chocolate milk or waffles, in order to signify the importance of Sabbath. During breakfast, it is even asking everyone at the table what they plan to do on this rest day. It is healthy to take Sabbath even as parents, but your perspective and expectations need to be able to be flexible. The reality is that kids demand attention, so include them in your rest. It's unrealistic to expect them to sit still all day with a book or in front of a TV, but you can slow things down by having special coloring books and activity books or toys that you only pull out on your Sabbath day. This can give you some downtime, or you can invite your kids to sit with you as you read together or watch a movie together or even nap together or even pray together. Then also, it's being creative and using paper plates and cups on your Sabbath so cleanup is quick and you can get back to doing stuff that is fun for you and your kids. If you have a spouse, you can even have one spouse with the kids in the morning and then the other spouse with the kids in the afternoon and evening. That way, you each get a few hours during the day on your own to help you to get rest and to refresh. But ultimately, include your kids in your rest rhythms and let them know what a Sabbath is and how they can practice such a discipline now so that when they are older, they are not overwhelmed because they are living within their limits. If you are a parent and are interested in more information about what this looks like, my wife Kelsey, who is our Kid City Director, would love to connect with you and even give you some resources so that you can practice this and even start implementing this Sabbath into your life with your family and with your kids. Number six, don't be legalistic when it comes to your Sabbath. We don't ever want to be legalistic when it comes to following Jesus. Like, I have to do this and I cannot do that, and then spiritually beat yourself up over it. Jesus was specific to say that the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. So we need to remember that God created the Sabbath for our benefit so that we can restore physically, mentally, and spiritually. You are not taking the Sabbath to impress God. So fit the Sabbath so that it works for you to rest, which means that if an emergency does happen on your Sabbath, then attend to it and then rest, and maybe you can rearrange your schedule so that you can rest on another day. Taking a Sabbath is not about ignoring our responsibilities in order to rest, but it is about being responsible while getting rest. Remember, God gave you permission to rest like He did. So figure out what that looks like for you. So what can you do this week to be creative to start having an actual rest day? I see taking a Sabbath like tithing. People who tithe, meaning give a tenth of their income back to God, know that 90% with God's blessings goes further than 100% without. And people who rest one day a week know that they can get more done in 6 days with God's blessings than with 7 days without. God gives us a Sabbath as a gift. That is why Sabbath is about trusting God. So trust Him to take a rest. And in the meantime, connect with Him so that you can have godly clarity and perspective when you face the rest of your week. Because Sabbath rest refreshes us, makes us more like Jesus, and helps us to be less overwhelmed. As you know, I'm a recovering workaholic. And for years, I was guilty of being a slave to my work. I used to work 7 days a week, 12 to 14 hour days, and that was normal for me. Yes, I had heard about Sabbath, but honestly, I ignored it because I thought rest was for losers. I didn't need a break. The anthem of my life was late to bed, early to rise, work like hell, and advertise. And even though I was really, really productive, the consequence was that I was always irritable and short-tempered with others and always felt like I had to do more. It wasn't until I went to seminary that God started to really impress on me why I needed to take Sabbath seriously. I applied to be part of this group on campus called the Pierce Fellows, which focus on disciple-making and spiritual formation. If you got accepted, they would also give you a stipend to help pay for your tuition, which was also a nice perk since I was a poor seminary student. Well, when I went for the phone interview, the director of the program, Steve, asked me why I wanted to be a part of this group. So as a prideful first-year student, thinking I knew it all, I went about listing all of my accomplishments and how productive I had been for God in making disciples. I told him about all the people that came to know Jesus, all the influence I had in growing God's kingdom over the years, and all the great things that I wanted to continue to do for God when I graduated. And after I was done sharing, I thought I was a shoo-in, and I was imagining Steve saying, "Wow, Edwin, you are like the perfect candidate for us." But he didn't say anything. In fact, there was a long pause, and then he responded, "Edwin, that's not what we are about. You mentioned everything about doing and doing, but what we are about is about being. It's easy to do for God, but we want to train students to be with God, to care for their soul well, so that when it comes time to serve, you would be living from a place of love and rest and not performance." I had never heard that before. Just being, not doing. Then my response to him was, "So you're telling me that this program is like a spa for your soul?" And he said, "Exactly. We will teach you how to rest in God and to live your life out of that rest in God. We will teach you to go from human doing to human being." I lived frantically and stressed all my life, doing and doing, and here was an opportunity to learn to live out of the rest and love that God has for me. Well, despite all my wrong answers, Steve accepted me into the program. And for the next 3 years, I learned how to slow down, take Sabbaths, and create support structures in my life so that I could become a healthier person and a healthier follower of Jesus. And practicing rest and slowing down has changed my life. Because it's not enough to just accept Jesus into your life. It is learning from him so that you can function like him. So whatever season you are in, if you are someone who has been restless and go, 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 may Sabbath be an encouragement for you to slow down, rest in Jesus as you change the system of how you've been functioning. Remember, Sabbath rest refreshes us, makes us more like Jesus, and helps us to be less overwhelmed. Let me pray for us. God, teach us your ways as we take steps to slow down so that we can rest. You are in control, so we don't need to function like we are in control. And help us to live within our limits and to trust that when we take a break, that you will provide for all of our needs. God, we want your rest. We want your peace. We want your clarity in our lives. You know, as we continue in prayer, maybe you're hearing all this and you realize that you don't have a relationship with God and that you want one. You want to experience his love and hope. You want to experience his mercy and forgiveness for your sins. Well, know that God loves you so much and that he came to earth as Jesus in order to forgive you for your sins and to create an avenue so that you can have a real relationship with him now and for all of eternity. He lived a perfect life, and then he chose to die for your sins and my sins so that we can have forgiveness and new life in him. And not only did he die, but on the third day, Jesus rose from the dead, proving to the whole world that he wasn't just a man, but that he's the God who saves. And if that is what you want, then I want to invite you right now to ask Jesus to come into your life, to save you from your sins, and to transform you into the person that you are meant to be. If that is your desire today, then will you pray with me right now, saying, Heavenly Father, forgive me for all of my sins. Save me and make me new. Fill me with your Holy Spirit so that I can follow you for the rest of my life. Help transform me into the person that you meant for me to be. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. If you prayed to ask Jesus to come into your life, then that means that you now have a relationship with the God of the universe and that you're part of his family. Please email us at info@communitycitychurch.org to let us know of your decision, and we would love to get to know you better and even give you some resources to help you to grow in that relationship with God. Now go in peace to love and to serve the Lord.